Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14. The chapter is entitled Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System, and today is text 4. Tena Prokta Swaputraya Manave Purvajayasa Tato Brig Yado Tato Brig Yad, excuse me, Tato Brig Gadayo Greenan Sapta Brahma Mahashaya Tena Prokta Saputraya Manave Purvajayasa Tato Brigadayo Greenan Sapta Brahma Maharshaya. Please chant. Tena Prokta Swaputraya Manave Purvajayasa Tato Brigadayo Greenan Sapta Brahma Maharshaya Prokta, spoken. Swaputraya, to his son. Manave, to Manu. Purvajaya, the oldest. Sa, that Vedic knowledge. Tata, from Manu. Bhrigu Adaya, those headed by Bhrigu Muni. Agrinan, accepted. Sapta, 7. Rama. In Vedic literature. Maharishaya. Most learned sages. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to His eldest son Manu, and the seven sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni, then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. Purport. Everyone engages in a certain way of life based on one's own nature and propensities. Bhakti Yoga is a natural activity of one whose nature is completely purified by association with the Supreme Lord. Other processes are meant for those whose nature is still affected by the material modes, and thus such processes, along with their results, are themselves also materially contaminated. Devotional service of the Lord, however, is a pure spiritual process, and by executing it with a pure consciousness, one comes directly in touch with the personality of Godhead, who describes Himself in Bhagavad Gita as Avitram Idam Uttamam, the Supreme Pure. The system of parampara, or disciplic succession, is illustrated in this and the previous verse. The spiritual masters in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement are part of such a disciplic succession, and through them, the same Vedic knowledge spoken by Brahma to Manu is still available. So Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to His eldest son, Manu, and the seven sages headed by Bhrigu Muni, then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. Om Agyana Timanandisha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umnitam Gena Taishma Shri Gurve Namaha. So this chapter starts with another inquiry from Uddhava. He wants to understand what there's many different processes that are presented in the Vedic literature and by different acharyas, but what's the supreme one? This is seemed like it was almost answered in the end of the last chapter, but he's just driving this point so he gets full clarification. The four Kumaras, they were liberated from Jnana Yoga by the mercy of Hamsa Avatar. But again, he's driving this point. He wants to know, get full clarification. So it's interesting that in response, Krishna kind of goes back to the ABCs of Krishna consciousness, in one sense, dealing with the parampara. I say ABCs because that was my entry into Krishna consciousness. I was following a Kundalini yoga, mystic yogi, and I had the good fortune of meeting Sanjaya Prabhu. Divyanga's face lights up. What a good book distributor he was at Port Authority bus terminal in New York. And he wanted to sell me a Bhagavad Gita, and I was telling him about the yogi. And then he showed me the parampara in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, made some points, and boom, really hit me. You know, this is really a super important thing, that it's not some concoction. Matter of fact, the mystic yogi, later on, after I joined the movement, ended up falling down with his female disciples, and he was kicked away by his senior disciples. I won't go into details, I won't mention names, but so then I ended up in the New York temple. The first day I visited, I joined, coming from the hills of Vermont. And so it was quite a remarkable transformation that I underwent. So we have this basic understanding, We've gone through a lot of convoluted philosophical presentations by Krishna and Hamsa Avatar that, you know, strain everyone's brain to some extent. But here we are, this basic understanding, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu sakaliniha mahatta yoga nashta parantapa. So this supreme science was received through the chain of succession, and the kings understood it in this way. But in course of time, the succession was broken. And this was also mentioned in the previous verse, this breaking of the influence of time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. So there's this tendency. So now, one obvious question, what qualifies one to follow parampara? And Krishna answers that question in the next verse, sa evayam maya teja yoga prukta paratana aktosi me shaka cheti rahasyam yetarutamam. So he's basically eulogizing Arjuna because he's his friend and he's a devotee. So therefore that qualifies him for understanding this transcendental knowledge. So that means he doesn't have envy. You know, he wants to please Krishna. That's what friends do to other friends. They try to please him. And of course, that's the essence of pure devotional service, is to try to please the Lord, not please our own senses, but please the senses of the Lord. That's the formula. So then, how is the succession broken? And it's not a one-time deal. It seems like it's a continual threat. And Prabhupada, you know, he goes into a lot of detail about what happened with the Gaudiya Math in the 12th chapter of Adi Leela. This is the expansions of Advaitacharya and Gadadhar. Mainly it's dealing with the expansions of Advaitacharya. He had some good sons, and he had other ones that weren't so sincere and deviated substantially. So there's some very interesting points that Prabhupada makes. There's one well-known verse, acharya matye se matsara tanra angli tanra agna langi chale se ta asara. So the order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. So this is a formula that Srila Prabhupada actually perfected of following the order of the spiritual master, and he goes into quite a bit of detail in two verses prior to the one that I just quoted, which is 12:8. And he describes that at first all of the followers of Advaitacharya shared single opinion, but later they followed two different opinions as ordained by Providence. So there was the Daivi Shakti kind of got some of the sons. You know, they became bewildered, and they concocted their own understanding of how to proceed with their lives, and they're quite materially tainted. So this Daivera Karana. Then Prabhupada immediately starts speaking about what happened in the Gaudiya Math. And it's, you know, I'm sure it was very painful for him to speak about this because he, you know, participated, tried his best, but it just became, you know, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, people cooperated, they followed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he made it very clear that after his departure, he wanted the Gaudiya Math to be overseen by a governing body. Unfortunately, a couple of his leading, as Prabhupada says in the purport, leading secretaries decided that they wanted to be the acharya. So they started fighting, and then Prabhupada says in the purport, 40 years later, there was still litigation going on. And So this asara principle, they very, very, very clearly, based upon the motivation of profit, distinction, and adoration, deviated. But that's the key. You know, like here Arjuna is glorified by Krishna because he's a devotee and he's also a friend. His interest was to please Krishna, whatever way possible. But when the profit, distinction, adoration factor comes into play, it's difficult to stay on that platform of pleasing Krishna because we're trying to please ourselves, our senses, our minds. So that seems to be, you know, what Prabhupada's emphasizing and the purporting here. Then Prabhupada said that, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur really wanted Krishna consciousness spread worldwide. And some of his godbrothers went to different parts of the world. They were supported by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in doing so. They came back. They glorified themselves for having done such a great job of spreading Krishna consciousness in the West. They didn't really do anything. And then they used that as a fulcrum for collecting funds and living a comfortable life. So Prabhupada, you know, he very clear on this. And so then what Prabhupada gets into is the famous 241 verse, Vivyashyatmika Buddhir Ekiha Kuru Nandana, Bahushaka Yanantascha Buddhayo Vivyashayanam. So those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched, Bahushaka. So Prabhupada in the beginning of that purport describes this Vyavyashyatmika intelligence as having very, very firm faith that simply by following this process, following the instructions of the spiritual master, one will achieve the highest goal in life. And then he quotes the Shraddha Shabde Vishvash Kahe Sudhida Nishtaya Krishne Bhakti Sarvakarma Krita Hoy. That faith means fully confident that simply by executing devotional service, excuse me, all subsidiary activities are automatically achieved. In other words, you don't have to really do anything other than serve Krishna. He's the wealthiest person. He can provide anything you need. Book distribution, you can, you know, so many different things you can do in serving Krishna according to your nature. You don't really have to worry that you're not going to be able to, you know, survive in this material world. All these things will be taken care of automatically. I mean, not that we're lazy men and we ask Krishna to just pay us or something, but that's the general internal mood that enables this Vyavyashyatmika Buddhi, this confident, firm faith. The devotional service is all that I really need to do. So he took, you know, Prabhupada in the purport, I mean, Prabhupada described to his disciples early on in the movement of how he was really struck by reading Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on 241. It had a huge impact on Srila Prabhupada in himself wanting to very strictly follow the instructions he had received from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So, this is Srila Bhakti, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he writes, of all kinds of intelligence, the best intelligence is focused on Bhakti Yoga. In Bhakti Yoga, one's intelligence becomes single pointed or fixed in determination. One thinks, and this is the internal meditation, the instructions of my spiritual master, to worship the personality of Godhead by chanting, remembering, serving his feet, and so on, are my only sadhana, my only sadhya, my only livelihood. I'm incapable of giving up these instructions, either in the stage of practice or in the stage of perfection. They alone are my object of desire and my only responsibility. Besides them, I can desire no other responsibility, not even in my dreams. It is all the same to me whether I feel happy or unhappy, or whether my material existence is eradicated or not. So full-on surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master. And it's actually what enables, like one of the last instructions Prabhupada gave to us, was that you can show your love for me by how well you cooperate. So cooperation becomes easy if that internal meditation of Vivashyatmika Buddhi is there. It's easy, you know, because that's what, you know, Prabhupada gave us certain agendas. He wanted the temples to be facilities for the six loving exchanges amongst devotees. He wanted Krishna consciousness spread. He gave specific directions of the best way to do that. And, you know, if people are on that page, then cooperation becomes a very joyful, not a painful, oh man, that guy again? I don't want to talk to him. It becomes a very joyful and uplifting experience because you're sharing, you know, your own efforts to spread Krishna consciousness under the direction of Srila Prabhupada with another who was doing the same thing. And then there's this Dini Shakti exchange is powerful. So that's kind of the basic formula. And Prabhupada, going on in this purport, describes how this understanding that's given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on 241 is corroborated in the Vedas. He quotes the famous Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tathaguru Tajaite Katita Yarta Prakashante Mahatmana. So only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master are the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So again, you know, that faith, Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe, both in Krishna, the goal, and also the instruction to the spiritual master. And we see, you know, that Prabhupada also made the point that he didn't say Phalena Parichyate, but he paraphrased that. You can judge by the result. I think this is in the purport, two verses after the 12:12, where he says, you can judge by the result. You know, they acquired the property, these leading secretaries of Srila Prabhupada, but what was the result in terms of their spreading Krishna consciousness? Wasn't there. The preaching basically stopped. Litigation went on. They got their comfortable material situation, but hey, you know, did they continue the mission? So that's the way to ascertain whether that Vivashyatmika Buddhi is there, whether one is actually following parampara. And then we see, you know, because of the degree of focus that Srila Prabhupada had on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions, poof, just Hare Krishna explosion worldwide. That was the cause. And that's what Prabhupada attributed it to. He was never outside of the instruction of his Guru Maharaj. And so all this Shakti to spread Krishna consciousness came with that. But, you know, it's a very basic philosophical understanding, but yet so difficult in many ways, right? The tendency for deviation, the tendency not to have that focus is so powerful as a result of the interface with the material energy. Okay, so let's see if there's any other points here. So yeah, the Prabhupada in his translation, right after this Acharya Matye Se Matsara verse, some of the disciples, this is in reference to Advaita Acharya's disciples, strictly accepted the orders of the Acharya, and others deviated. independently concocting their own opinion under the spell of Daivi Maya. They got into Maya. That's what happened. That's what happened to Gaudiya Maya. Here's a really far out purport that Prabhupada comments on this verse. This verse describes the beginning of a schism. When disciples do not stick to the principle of accepting the order of their spiritual master, immediately there are two opinions. Any opinion different from the opinion of the spiritual master is useless. One cannot infiltrate materially concocted ideas into spiritual advancement. That is deviation. There's no scope for adjusting spiritual advancement to material ideas. Now, that's not to say that like Prabhupada made many time, place, circumstance adjustments. You know, he adjusted details, but he didn't adjust principles. He kept the principles the same, just to accommodate the personalities that he was preaching to, the personalities that he was bringing into Krishna consciousness. Quite a few adjustments of details. Once Shruti Kirti asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do we know the difference between a detail and a principle, and how to adjust the details? And Prabhupada said, "Ah, that takes intelligence," and that was his response. But where does that intelligence come? It comes from that vivyashyatmaka buddhi, just going very deep into the mood of one's of the acharya and understanding that, and then the intelligence comes from deeply penetrating. Like Tamahar was making the point in his offering to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's Tirubhav celebration. And there was a whole discussion in the GBC. Apparently there had been some study of different spiritual organizations and how they had lost the essence of the, you know, kind of the formula that they began with, you know, and it went like four generations. And so Prabhupada gave instructions, and, you know, just on, there's instructions, you know, there's the words, but then there's also the context, and then there's also the intent. So those, all of these things have to be understood in order to really get it, you know, and able to follow them. But, you know, and then he made the point, you know, about how the fourth generation, they lose the instruction. I think the second generation loses the intent. And then the third generation loses the content. And the fourth generation loses the instruction. Something like that, you know. And of course, this is based upon, you know, the studies. But then we see, you know, within our tradition, when the Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started his preaching, poof, Prakriti Sahajiyism was just all pervasive practically in India. It took him, it took him 8 or 10 years to find an edition of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was vigorously trying to find a copy so that he could study it, and he couldn't find one. But then there were Prakriti Sahajiyas just all over the place. So there was a lot of work to do. This is like, 450 years or so after Lord Chaitanya's departure. So that there's a very, very strong tendency towards that. So our movement has to, individually we have to be on guard, and also as a movement we have to be on guard. All right, so I've made a lot of maybe too heavy points. You know, I'm sorry if I did, but that's, I'm just kind of following what Prabhupada stressed. And maybe there's, I'll read the translation again, and maybe there's some questions or comments or chastisements or reflections. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to his eldest son, Manu, and the seven great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. Hare Krishna. Kamaraj Prabhu.
If sometimes it's kind of bewildering to understand from what you're explaining of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, such a powerful personality, and he was always there pretty much with his 64 Gaudiya mat, unlike Srila Prabhupada, who was hardly ever there at his temples throughout the world. And, you know, with such a fierce person, Srila Prabhupada used to say that his Guru Maharaj was 90% strict, and he, Srila Prabhupada, is only 10% strict. But we see that, from what you were explaining, that immediately after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj left, that things starts like disintegrating, per se. So it's kind of a bewildering to see that such a personality with that kind of association, and still it appears as though the essence was lost by his followers, excepting Srila Prabhupada.
Well,
so can we explain that?
In the translation to text 8, let's see, where is that? So that the phraseology is by dint of providence or by God's will. So let us say that this disruption in the Gaudiya mat hadn't taken place, and Prabhupada had full facility to do service in the Gaudiya mat. Would he have left? You know, would he have been in such a heavily dependent situation on Krishna and the previous acharyas? Would he have had the empowerment? I don't know. This is one thought that occurs to me. It's by Krishna's arrangement that this happened. There's no question. Okay, sorry.
I would say still yes, because from day one, the first initial association with his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada was instructed to preach all over the world in the English language. And if you look at Srila Prabhupada's mood, that was always like the basis of his life, to one day carry out his instructions. So, yes, you can say that maybe that was an impetus, but I'm not sure if that would change if he had all full facilities with the Gaudiya mat.
Well, you know, another thing is that there was clear premonition that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had of this. For instance, when Srila Prabhupada was walking with him at Radhakund, and, he had his son Abhay with him, you know, there's a painting in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how was it put? He said that there will soon be fire in the Gaudiya mat due to, what was it, material dissension. And then he gave him the famous instruction, if you ever get money, print books. So there was already something going on in Calcutta, but he could understand that this was happening. And he also told, I think it was in Bombay, that he will do everything. And he was referring to Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying this to his senior disciples. So, providential arrangement, I mean, how do we figure it out? You know, I mean, how did you get to here? Why am I sitting here? You know, I mean, how did I meet Sanjaya in Port Authority bus terminal in 1977? I mean, there was nothing but providential arrangement. You know, I didn't have anything to do with it. So there was a very powerful plan of the Lord. And my feeling is that Srila Prabhupada, because he was, you know, what did he came? He came with 40 rupees to America. If he came with a big bankroll from the Gaudiya mat, it wouldn't nearly have been as impressive. It would have been much more difficult for him to, you know, in such a helpless condition, you know, to get people on board. You know, he needed to recruit as soon as possible in order to fulfill the mission of his spiritual ministry. He wrote, you know, to so many different people in India asking for help. Did he get any?
No.
So, you know, this was, again, providential arrangement. Prabhupada was incredibly empowered, but he couldn't get any help from the Gaudiya Mathas. He couldn't get any help from governmental officials. He couldn't get any help from wealthy people in India. Sumati Maharaji at least gave him a ride over to America. But when he asked her for money, no, couldn't get it. So that's a sense that I have. You know, I don't know if I've ever read anything on it, but it's just kind of an intuitive sense that Prabhupada came, you know, in a stripped, you know, helpless and fully dependent upon Krishna. You know, like what he wrote in Boston Harbor, Markandeya Bhagavat Dharma, was it? Yeah. That, you know, I'm a puppet, now make me dance. You know, so there's this full-on surrender that was also, I think, to some extent facilitated by the arrangements of Providence. You had nobody else but Krishna and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Rupa Goswami's instructions that went so deep into his heart. And he just, the Vyashyatmika Buddhi, and that, the empowerment came with that. That's a sense, you know, I mean, what do you think? Huh? Yeah. It's a big one, but the point is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur knew something was going to happen to the Gaudiya Math. And he warned Prabhupada this. And he also told his disciples, he'll do everything. Trivikram Prabhu.
I'm also thinking that the loss of the parampara and the knowledge can be seen in a different point of view. The Lord speaks the message to Brahma, he to his, to Narada, or to his sons, the sons to the sages, and like that. And with time, the knowledge would become lost. Because when we're speaking about time, let us just take this day of Brahma. You have 14 manus. Each manus reigns for 304 million years. See, the day of Brahma is 4 billion. So within the range of time, the essence of the knowledge, for example, at the end of one manu's reign, there's like a devastation, a flood. Then what happens after you have like a great flood? Some of them. So I'm thinking in this perspective. I mean, I kind of missed the whole verse, but I was thinking when you see it from this perspective, then you see with the time range, how that knowledge.
Well, whose time? That's Krishna.
But because of the length of time from the beginning to now, right? Like when he was telling Arjuna, for example, I spoke this knowledge to the sun god. Right now I'm speaking it back to you. The knowledge had seemed to be lost, and now I'm speaking it back to you. So with time itself, see, going through all these manvantaras and all these deviations, calamities and everything. See?
Okay, so time, but why is it lost? You know, it's because of individual and collective deviation. I mean, Prabhupada.
That's one.
That's the issue. It's not that, of course, time is a factor, but you know, it's not just time, because it can be maintained. Prabhupada didn't lose it like his godbrothers. You know, he stayed fixed. He had Vivashyatmika Buddhi.
All right. Well, let us just look at this. Let us say like when you have a flood.
When you have a what?
Let us say when you have a flood, right? A huge flood. And half the populace of the world wiped out. Then some come back and people start to come back. Then the knowledge, the Vedic knowledge they had heard, it's coming from, you know, meager source. And so
whatever little they hear, you know, that's being spread. So,
okay.
All right?
I don't know. Not sure what the point is, but yeah. Selma Prabhu. Tatari's next if he can hang around long enough. Go ahead, Prabhu.
There's a statement that says you can never understand the mind of the Acharya. So you were saying these, you have to understand the, you know, the context, the intention, and all these things. So, I mean, Srila Prabhupada said many things, so we know what he said, but can you really actually know his intent for all these things?
Well, the qualification, of course, is the for understanding Krishna, for entering a relationship with him, is 411, Yayutamam Prapadyante. And Prabhupada, you know, because of his love and his dedication to the order of his spiritual master, that's the, you know, that's kind of the principle. You know, that gives him more and more empowerment, more and more understanding. And like, one can't know Krishna either except through devotional service. One can understand him as he is, Bhakti Mam Abhijanante. So one can understand the Acharya, maybe not fully, but that phrase is generally used. I'm trying to think of the verse. It was in my repertoire at one point in life. But sometimes, you know, like I used in reference to Lord Nityananda, I believe, you know, so that he would sometimes go to the liquor shop and different things. So it was, there was unusual behavior. So to actually enter into understanding that's not a common thing. But, you know, I would say quite safely that Srila Prabhupada had a very deep understanding of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even though God brothers who were part of the initial deviation, you know, they were, had much more Vapu association, but Prabhupada went very deep in the Vani, you know, he had this Vivyashyatmaka Buddhi, and that gave him, you know, empowerment and also an understanding of the instruction and how to execute it. Does that make sense? Okay, Madan's going to save the day here. Oops, oh, I forgot, Jatari was next. Sorry, Prabhu.
Well, I was just in the class you were talking about originally that because Arjuna was Krishna's friend, then Krishna imparted that knowledge to him. So I was wondering, you know, like in devotional service, there's so many different relationships. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada, his relationship with Bhaktisiddhanta, is that, that be, would you see that as, it's not a friendship, it's like he was Bhaktisiddhanta's servant, and then there's the gopis, and then there's so many different ways that instructions are not deviated from, the motivation or the impetus behind that. Could you say anything about that?
Well, the you know, is that a good question? Krishna and Arjuna had this Sakya Ras, and you know, also some Dasya was mixed in there, you know, some awe and reverence. But you know, the point is that Arjuna was functioning within the parameters of Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service. And so that's the main principle. You know, this enables empowerment and also enables an understanding. You know, if one is motivated by profit, distinction, adoration, yeah, you can't really understand the Acharya. You can't really understand Krishna. You're blocked. You know, this is why Chaito Darpana Marginam comes in when it comes in, because there's a blockage. Our vision is obscured by the illusory energy. That's my understanding. You know, so because of the lack of that, attachment to the illusory energy. You know, that Arjuna, he didn't want that. He wanted to please Krishna. There's a verse, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tari Balikama, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dari Prema Nama, that when one tries to satisfy his own senses, it's lust. But when one tries to satisfy the senses of Krishna, that's love. So there's quite a different mentality, attitude that's there. And when one has the desire to please Krishna's senses, the illusory energy vanishes. And we're able to really enter into deep understanding and a level of empowerment that comes with that, because Krishna's right there with us. We're within the Antaranga Shakti, as opposed to the Bahiranga Shakti, where we're just tied up in knots by the modes of material nature. So Prabhupada functions within the Antaranga Shakti. And Arjuna, you know, there was some yoga maya covering so that the Bhagavad Gita could get spoken, but he was very, very dear and close to Krishna and very trusted. And so there wasn't any need for him to get belted around by the material energy and covered over. Madam Prabhu.
Sometimes I also think of friend meaning non-envious.
Yeah.
And there was a definition of envious that I remember I looked up when out in the 60s in a nice dictionary, and it said an awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another coupled with the desire to enjoy the same advantage.
Can you start over again? Say that again. It's quite deep.
An awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another coupled with the desire to have that advantage themselves.
Right.
So, but the comment I was thinking of is on that same verse that you mentioned in 241 and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada also mentioned that, quoting that about that the spiritual master, the disciple sees the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul. So I sometimes would think about that and I wonder, is that figurative or actually literal? Because your life, you don't really have a life outside the order of the spiritual master. You have the illusion of a life. Mm-hmm. And soul and life, you know, you can kind of spin them around a little bit, that the very existence of you is based on the instructions of the spiritual master. So it has an interesting feeling about it, you know, the order of the spiritual master.
All encompassing, you know, that's the idea.
So, do you think it's literal or figurative?
Both. Yeah, I mean, it's language, so it's a little tricky. But the point is, you know, everything. He has given everything to please Guru and Krishna, and that's what devotional service, pure devotional service, means. We're not covered by jnana or karma. Jnana karma adhinavitam. So, okay, so I think we can enter. Thank you. Hare Krishna.